And what scriptures do we have to confirm the fact that we can have this information? Where will we be 100 years from now, 1,000 years, 10,000, 100 billion years from now? And exactly what the whole future holds, I am going to do my best to put it in words just in a very few minutes. Found Revelation, the 4th chapter. After this I looked, and behold, there was a door open in heaven, and the voice, the first voice which I heard, as of a trumpet talking with me, John, that was John he was talking to, which said, "Come up hither, John, and I will show you things which shall come to pass hereafter. And I will show you things which shall come to pass hereafter." Now, what does that mean? It means that John was going to be shown things that should come to pass hereafter. He was caught up, and he did see things that were to come to pass. He did write them and put them in a book, and they did preserve the book, and we have the book. It's called the Book of Revelation. Now we unfold the things that God showed to John, and when he got through showing to John, he said, "John," and he said, "Yes, God," he said, "Write, get your pencil and put it down, write, for these things that you have seen are true, and they are faithful." You can depend on them. Now, the Bible says in Peter that we have a more sure word of prophecy. "For prophecy is as a light shining in a dark place until the day star dawn and the day star rise in your heart." But what is prophecy? Throughout the Bible, God has always used prophecy to reveal himself and to prove to humanity that he's God and he knows everything. God is the only one that really knows the end from the beginning. He knows all about it. Now, he told Daniel a number of things that should happen. He told him all about the kingdoms, the four great kingdoms that had not come up, or the one was in power at then, Babylon. But he showed him the other three that were coming and told him exactly, described the and earmarked them perfectly, and they arrived on the scene just as God showed Daniel. Then he shows him a long period of time after the Roman Empire, and then he shows him in the very end time, that's where we are now, he showed him another kingdom coming up, which is right around the corner. Showed Daniel that. Then he showed John the Revelator, and he showed John the Revelator that there was going to come another great kingdom up, and he showed him a number of things that had happened. So as all the prophecy of Daniel came to pass, so all the prophecy of St. John the Divine, the New Testament prophet, they will come to pass. Now, as I stand here this morning, and 79, and as I stand here, and we are talking now in September, and as I'm talking to you now, what will come to pass? What's right around the corner? Where am I right now, according to prophecy? Somebody said, "Oh, there's going to be a tribulation." You'd have gone over to the Germans a few years ago, brother. You'd said, "Boy, we're having tribulation right now." You'd have gone to the Russians several different times. They'd have said, "It could never get worse than this. We're piling men up 10, 15, 20 feet high. Nothing but human flesh piled up. And we're starving. We're eating out of old buckets and eating bark off of trees." And there's a lot of stuff like that. I'm not dealing. I'm showing you what the book said will take place. Now, as we stand right now, there has been some tribulation times. There's been some troublous times, and there will be some troublous times. May I stop to say this? Jesus said in the very end time, there's going to be a time of tribulation. Such was not since Adam unto this time, no, nor ever shall be after. Now that period of time has not come yet. It's right around the corner. Now, will we have to go through that part? I'll answer that right now, no, but I'll give you scripture for it in a few minutes. We will not have to go through that. Now, some people say, well, now, what do you think the next thing on the docket is going to be? I believe it'll be the rapture. I may go a little further and say, I know it will be the rapture. We may have wars and rumors of wars. Nations may have trouble, and the nations may change names, and this one conquer that one. A number of those things will happen. Way before Israel went back here several years ago, for 1900 years, they didn't have a home. But while I preached the Gospel Lighthouse Church, I preached over and over again, they're going back right away. They're going back immediately. And they did go back, put the flag up, because why? God spoke to my heart. He showed me in the Word that Israel would go back and become an independent nation. So that's already behind us. It's taking place. It's one of the earmarks of the end time. I'll answer this question. Somebody said, oh, nobody knows the day and the hour. Nobody has any idea when the Lord's coming. Wait a minute. Just use the words of the Bible. Nobody knows the day and hour. We don't. But don't say nobody has any idea, for he says that day will not come on you unaware. He said, you're not children of the night. The children of the night don't know about the future. They don't know what's going to come to pass. But he said, you're not of the night nor of darkness, so it will not come on you as a thief. He said, I have no need to write unto you of that day and hour. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. But you're not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us watch and be sober. Because we see the signs. Jesus said, when you see these things come to pass, look up and lift your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. So we obeyed the Lord. We looked around. We saw the things that he said would come to pass. They have come to pass. We've already seen it come to pass. While the world is in darkness and they never recognize it, we as children of God know that we have seen the end time arrive. If one of our grandpas had come out of the grave, died 75 years ago, he'd pass out when he came in here. He'd see the streets lit up. In those days, there wasn't a street light nowhere on earth. He'd see broadways all over the world, all over the state of, all over the United States. When he died, there wasn't one nowhere, not even one. Now, any town there is, you've got a highway from one to the other. That happened in our day. The electric lights, automobile, television. I could go on and on and on. Why? God said in the end time, knowledge would increase. So we surely couldn't look to the future and say, that's future, it's going to happen, it's already happened. We've come out of the primitive days in the day in which we're living. Now the Lord said, I'm going to come as it were in the days of Noah, eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage. And the earth was filled with violence. The earth today is filled with violence. Men's hearts are evil continually. And people are eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage. Why? Giving all attention to the flesh and nothing to the spirit. Right. Now, they knew not till the flood came, took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. I'm talking about not the second coming. The second coming is when Jesus comes to earth and puts his feet on the earth. That's at the close of the great tribulation period. But there is to be a rapture of the church first. Now the rapture is when the Lord comes to get us, but he doesn't come to earth. Nobody on earth sees him. He doesn't arrive on earth. He stops in mid-heaven, the Bible says, and we are caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. Then he takes us and carries us back to heaven. Now, how far up in the air that is, I'm not able to tell you because the book don't give us that information. It could be 100 miles up. It could be 2,000 miles up. Or it could be 20,000 miles up. I don't know. But anyway, the trumpet will blow and we'll go up immediately with a glorified body and meet him. That is the next thing on the docket. Now, somebody says, well, now, what will happen when the rapture takes place? Let me tell you what will happen when the rapture takes place. The dispensation of the church age will end. as far as the church age. Every preacher that God has on earth that's functioning for him will be gone when the rapture takes place. Won't be one left. Every child of God holy on earth will go. Every innocent baby on earth will go. Get this clearly. And every person on the face of the earth that has the Holy Spirit in them will go. And the Holy Spirit will not have one person left on earth that he can dwell in, for our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost will leave. Now, where is that in the Bible? Only he, H-E, a personal pronoun. Doesn't say it. It says he, person. And it could not mean any angel. And it did not mean Jesus, and could not. It did not mean Jehovah God, neither could it mean him. There's only one left for it to mean, and that fits in perfectly, is the Holy Ghost. Only, Thessalonians, second chapter, only he who now letteth, or permits, he will let until he be taken out of the way. Now when the Holy Ghost restraining power is taken out of the way, which will take place when the trumpet blows in the rapture, then the dead in Christ will rise, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. We which are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now you get this. So shall we ever be with the Lord. So what happened? The rapture takes place in the 12th chapter of Revelation. You find the rapture taking place in the man-child. The man-child is the rapture. And I'll prove that very plainly later. But as this rapture takes place and we go up, we're caught up to heaven. And immediately, according to the Bible, immediately when we leave, Satan is cast out of the heavenlies to earth. He no longer has his abode in the heavenlies. Right now and the past, he has been the principal and power of the air. He's up there. But when we are caught up, he's cast down to earth. And the Bible in Revelation said when the devil is cast down, right after the man-child is taken up, which is the bride, the church, as the Satan is cast down, the angel said, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, three woes to the earth. Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, but rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them." You see. Now, so the devil has come down having power and great wrath, for he hath but a short time. Now, the short time is 42 months, 3.5 years. It said he was cast down for 42 months. That's 3.5 years. It's cast down for times, time, and a half a time. That's 3.5 years. Then it goes ahead and gives it in the days. 1,000, and I forget how many now. 365 days in a year. Multiply 365 by 3.5, and that is exactly the amount of days that God said. So he gives us the period that Satan is going to rule supremely on earth. But through the Antichrist, from the time the rapture takes place till the time the Lord Jesus comes back with his saints at the close of the Battle of Armageddon, and there Michael, the war angel, will take Satan and bind him and put him in a bottomless pit for 1,000 years. But during the period of time when the rapture takes place, there will be 3.5 years of great tribulation. Now, this tribulation is not man-made. It is God-made. It is God's wrath. It is God declaring war on a God-rejected world. He pours out his wrath and his vials and his judgments upon people that have to drink blood. And hail comes down 100 weight. Demon locusts are let out of a pit, go out to sting people. They're tormented. All of the things. It'll be a time, Jesus said, that never was before after. That is during that period of time when Satan has been given all power. Turn to the 13th chapter of Revelation. And there you'll find that the devil, Satan, gives the Antichrist his power, his seat, and great authority. And so he shows great signs and wonders and miracles. He brings down fire from heaven. He shows himself to the whole world that he is God, and beside him there is no other. And he deceives every nation. Russia, America, Chinese, Germans, Italians, and Japanese. Every human being on the face of the earth, it says all the nations will be deceived and believe on him because of the miracles. Now, are we going through that? Listen, the Bible said, watch and pray that you might be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and that you may stand before the Son of Man. That doesn't sound like that you're going to go through it. Now, again, he said, because you have kept the words of my patience, I am going to keep you from the hour of temptation. That hour of temptation is called this short period of time that Satan is loosed and he gives the Antichrist power and God's wrath is poured out on the earth. That's a horrible time. Nobody wants to go through that. It's a day of darkness and gloom, and it's thick darkness. It's a day of the powers of darkness, witchcraft, demon possession. Lucifer himself, the devil himself, has been cast down. His agents have been anointed with devil power to perform miracles. The whole world is now deceived. How'd you like to live in a world like that? No Holy Ghost. No saints of God. They've gone. Nothing but hypocrites that wouldn't serve God and live right. And they wasn't ready to go when Jesus came. Now, we will not go through the wrath of God. Some say we'll go through it and stay here till the end. Well, you go ahead and stay. And believe in that might encourage you to kind of be disqualified to stay here. But I'm going to believe the book. Noah didn't go through the wrath. God took him out of it. He was raised above it while the wrath came down, and when he came back down, he became a dictator. That's exactly what he shows us. We go out of this thing while God pours it out here. When we come back down, we're dictators, and we reign over the earth for 1,000 years. Now, I've told you briefly what's going to happen here on this earth. Now, there will be the 144,000 that will be sealed. They're Jews, all of them are Jews. None of those are Gentiles. And they will be preserved. Why 144,000? We'll ask him when we get to heaven. But, now, will the natural people that are here that's fooled around and they were just too busy shopping, making money, and they got lukewarm, and when the Lord came, they wasn't ready to go. Now, what's going to happen to them? Well, I'll say this. God says, I'm going to give my people a chance to escape that time. And he warned us over and over and over again, and he hollered and said, kids, listen to me, I'm talking. Do what I tell you. Don't get ready. Be ready. Stay ready. And that's what he's told us all along. Now, it says in Thessalonians that he's going to send a strong delusion. A strong delusion from heaven. And he is going to deceive, he's going to deceive people all over the face of the whole earth. And I believe it'd be good if I could just turn to Thessalonians real quick, and we'll just read what it says there, and we'll get that straightened out. 2 Thessalonians right here. Here we are. It says, 9th verse, 2 Thessalonians, 2nd chapter, the 9th verse. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, that's the devil, with all power and all signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God is going to send them, who? The ones he gave a chance to serve God. The ones he gave a chance to believe the truth, but they wouldn't do it. God said, be ready. They said, no, I'm going to get ready later, but I've got little things that's more important right now. Like a lot of people may be hearing my voice throughout radio land. All, there's a few other things that have priority over going to church, living holy, and serving God. Now notice what it says here. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, so they'll believe a lie and be damned. How does this fellow come that has all power with all deceivableness? He's whose coming is after the working of Satan. It said, for this cause God shall send them a strong delusion. This is not man's doing. It's God's doing to the God-rejected world that has had 1,900 years of gospel preaching, and they have wooed it. They have laid it aside. They have closed their ear to it. And God said, because I gave them a chance to pray and repent and to hear my gospel, and they ignored it, for this cause I, the God of heaven, will send them a strong delusion that the whole bunch will believe a lie, and I'll damn them in hell. You say, now, wait a minute. Okay, let's read it and see if it doesn't say that. And for this cause God will send them a strong delusion, that they should all believe a lie. And the 12th verse. And that they should all be damned who believe not the truth, but they had pleasure in unrighteousness. Why does the Antichrist reign supremely? Why is he slaying human souls and every nation is believing on him? Because God is sending them a strong delusion. I sent my son from heaven, and he fulfilled every scripture that they could believe him and be saved and go to heaven. And they've done a good job of using his name in a cuss word, drinking their liquor, smoking their cigarettes, living for the devil and living in the flesh, living for the present, checking God out. And God said, all right, you've had your day. And as it were in the days of Noah, they lived their day up. And one day God pushed the button and, brother, the waters came on. Said they knew not till the flood came, took them all away. So shall it also be in the coming of the Son of Man. Now, that's some of the things going to take place down here. You say, is it possible for anybody to plow their way through and pray and repent after they have closed out and they refuse to be ready? You take that chance. I don't want to take it. There will be some that will be beheaded. A lot of those will be Jews that have come in, and God has opened their eyes during the while the rapture takes place. Their eyes will be open, and they'll realize that Christ is their Messiah. But now, as far as the Gentiles that had a chance, they had a chance to serve God, but they were just more interested in worldly things than to stay in and keep ready. So the Bible doesn't. I'm not saying it's impossible. If they should give their life, refuse to take the Antichrist, they cry out to God, there might be mercy. But you take that chance. I'm not going to take it. God does tell me that he sends a strong delusion. And when God sends a strong delusion, now one place said because they didn't like to retain God in the knowledge. God turns them over to a reprobate mind because they did not use the mind to absorb God and to believe in God. God gave them a reprobate mind, and they could not believe God. Jesus said, you have eyes to see and see not. And now because you had eyes and you didn't use them, he said, your eyes are closed. That's what he said. It's a dreadful thing to fool with God and trifle with God's grace and mercy. Now, I'm telling you the events that shall take place. The rapture will take place at any minute. He's coming for those that are ready. For those that are prayed up, whose sins are under the blood, who holds no bitterness in their heart, who are living a consistent Christian life, and they're living a holy life with God, going to church, paying their tithe, they're separated from habits of this world, people going around fogging the atmosphere, smoking cigarettes, living like the devil, and not getting down to business, brother. I'm going to tell you, I don't have much hope for them. Now let me tell you, it's high time to get ready, to be separated. Come out from among them and be separate in spirit and in truth. Because God said in your spirit and all, let your body and your spirits be holy unto God. And he said, which is your reasonable service. Now, when we go up to heaven, what's going to happen? When we go up to heaven, there's a marriage supper that will be up there right at 3.5 years. At the close of the 3.5 years, there will be the great marriage supper of the Lamb right at the close. And or during that period of time, it doesn't say exactly, but anyway, we will be active up there. We will be receiving our rewards according to the Bible. We will be receiving our rewards. And it said some will be made kings and priests. All of them that are caught up will either be made kings or priests. And we shall come back to earth with the Lord and reign 1,000 years on the earth, according to the Bible. Now, we are up there receiving our rewards. At the close of the marriage supper of the Lamb, Jesus mounts a white horse. You'll find this in Revelation 19. And the armies in heaven follow him. Not the army, but the armies in heaven follow him upon white horses. You say, how many did they have? The Bible don't tell us. We've got plenty. And it says the armies are made up of saints of God that was born down here on earth, like Texas and Georgia and Tennessee and China and, you know, Italy and all. It says the ones that are on the horse are called, chosen, and faithful. They have white robes, which are the righteousness of the saints. No angels. Angels are left out there. The Lord comes with his saints. He comes with those that have been redeemed. Now he comes down to earth to invade it. At this time, Antichrist is reigning with a high hand. He has gathered all nations together at the Battle of Armageddon because they see way out in space a cloud, an aroma, a cloud that no man can describe of untold billions of people that are on objects, and they're coming and they are stationary in the heavens. The Bible describes this perfectly in the 19th chapter of Revelation. So it stirs the hearts of the kings of the whole earth, and they gather together. What for? You say, what you coming here for? We're getting ready to head off the invasion. It's coming. It'll land right about here. And there's millions of them up there. And it said they gather together to make war against him that sat on the horse. Now you say, well, what does that mean? Oh, I'll tell you what it means. It means they were gathered together to make war with him that sat on the horse. You can read it 10,000 times, get your Greek and your everything else. And when you get through, you still got one thing. The Lord is coming with his saints, and the whole wide, wicked, sinful world have come together to make war, but they fail to overcome. The Lord sends forth his brightness, and they are destroyed with the brightness of his glory, and their flesh falls off of their bones while they're yet standing. You'll find that in Zechariah 12th chapter. And blood came out so fast, several gallons of blood out of every soldier, and there's millions of soldiers there. In the valley 3 miles long, 3 miles long, and I forget how many miles wide. No, it's more than 3 miles. I forget now. I've got it right on the end of my tongue. I'll get it to you. But anyway, it's from Bozrah to Megiddo. That's the distance of the valley. And it said the blood ran in that valley up 5 to 6 feet deep. Yes. Up to the horses' bridles. Now, horses are just as high back there then as they are now. Horses always been the same size. You walk up to any horse and it'll be about 5 feet from the ground up to his bridle. Now, it means the blood run to the horse's bridles. And what happens then? The Lord comes down and he commands every wicked person on earth to come together. And he judges them and he sends them, that's Matthew 25, he sends them into hell. And the ones that are righteous here on earth that have not taken the mark of the beast that has been proven true, he will give them a chance to go on living a normal life. But we'll have the glorified saints that come. And the first thing he does is bind the devil. And he chains the devil and puts him in the bottomless pit for thousand years. Now, this is going to go on tape. I'm going to have it where you can get it. And I'm going to finish up real quickly here. And what happens? When the Lord comes down, immediately he sets up his kingdom. It's called the great day of the Lord. Why? In one day, the battle of Armageddon and all wicked reign ceases. The kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord. That happened in one day's time when the sun came up and when it ended. Then in that day, Lucifer was bound in the bottomless pit. In that day, Jesus Christ established his earthly kingdom that he's been looking forward to hundreds of thousands of years even before the foundation of the world. From Adam 6,000 years back, he has been looking forward to that 1,000 years reign. And now at last it's come. So Christ reigns 1,000 years here on earth with his glorified saints as kings and priests all over the earth. And we reign with Christ. There'll be no more curse. And the animals will not fight each other. The lion will not eat meat. It'll eat straw like an ox. The ass will not sting, and neither will the bee. And everything will be lovely. The sun will give not a hotter force, but it will be seven times brighter. It'll be give forth the brightness of the noonday sun. The moon will give forth the brightness of the noonday sun. The sun is going to be so bright until the reflection of it at night will be like the noonday sun. Though, so the light, it will not be hot, but the heat, extreme heat, will be taken away. But the brightness of the sun will cause vegetation to grow so, it will have vegetables that this world has never known about. So, it will kill out the things that have been harming, and it will be a holy reign for 1,000 years. At the end of the 1,000 years reign with Christ here, then what happens? The devil is loosed out of his prison for just a little season. Not a long season, but a little season. Could be just a few years. And he goes out into the hearts of all the natural people. He never can try a glorified saint. If you go in the rapture, he can never touch you no more. You're foolproof forever. But when he's loosed out, he goes out to the natural people that have been raising children, and the earth is now populated as the sands of the sea. According to the Bible, in the 20th chapter of Revelation, you'll find this. Now, you'll find that the devil is loosed. Now, why did God let the devil out? He had to. Why? Because all the natural people on earth had been with Christ, with the glorified saints. There hadn't been a sinner on earth. No man on earth will say, know the Lord. Nobody will ever say, brother, get saved. Why? Everybody's saved. Everybody's got holiness on the Lord on the biscuit pan. You make biscuits of a morning, you reach out, you hang that biscuit pan up, you'll say, glory to God, look at that, holiness on the Lord. You walk into a house and over the doorpost is holiness on the Lord. You walk in and say, hallelujah, brother, and they'll say, glory to God. And everywhere. And here he'll be a fellow out plowing, just a plowing, just a whistling. And he's got bells on that old horse going ding, 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 ding. And every bell has got holiness on the Lord, holiness on the Lord. And the earth is covered with righteousness as the waters cover the sea. And the Lord will reign 1,000 years. But everybody's been goody, goody, goody. There's been no devil, he's been bound. But they still got that nature. They haven't been glorified. All we need is the devil to get to him, just like the devil got to God's angels when he sinned. See? So God's got to do something. He can't take them to heaven because they haven't been tried. You know, your day's right now. Today and tomorrow and yesterday was your day. Brother, he's getting at you now. You better watch too. So when God let them out, he said, I've got to try them. Now, they knew about this. They'd heard about it. And they were warned about it. But the devil didn't come down the highway with a great big bandwagon with a big loudspeaker saying, hey, hey, I'm the devil. I'm Lucifer. I've got an idea I want to give you. No, that everyone mobbed him and barbecued him before the day's over or tried to get rid of him. Nobody believed on him. When the devil gets you, he don't come and say, hey, sister, who's it? I got an idea for you. See my... pop my forked tail. You see my old coarse hair here. And look how I look. He comes as an angel of light. He'll come in some woman down the street or some man down the street. He'll come with some slick, gossipy tongue. And Satan disguises himself. He always does. And he came in to say, now look, what's the idea here? These glorified saints just bossing over you. Why, you know. And he began to sow seeds of discord. Maybe he didn't get them to rebel in 6 months. But in a matter of 8 or 10 years, that's a short time, the end of 1,000. You know it? So he went ahead, and in a short time, there was a rebellion. And that rebellion began to grow and grow and grow and get bigger and bigger. And the more began to rebel, the more lined up with them. If wrong is wrong when two people do it, if 100 million do it, it's still just as wrong as if two do it. So finally it said that they rebelled as the sands of the sea for multitude. And they all got together and decided, let's go up to the camp of the saints and let's just take it over. Let's just declare war on them. And they said, all right. So the Bible tells them in Revelation 20 that they all got together and went up to the camp of the saints to take it over. And when they did, God looked down out of heaven and waited till they all got up there. And when they all got up there, God just pushed the switch and here come the fire. Now, the elements are made up of hydrogen. That is one of the most explosive things that we know of today. The hydrogen bomb is more feared, 1,000 times more feared than the atomic bomb. The atomic bomb that lowered and melted the town of Hiroshima and caused many thousands to be killed instantly and their body burnt to a crisp in a second's time is a play toy compared to hydrogen. We have hydrogen bombs today that'll make that sound like a firecracker. But what does God do? He sets the elements on fire and the elements melt with a fervent heat and the earth is melted. The earth is burned up with all the works in it are burned up. There is not one thing left. And then what happens? The heavens are burned and it melts with a fervent heat. And then it passed away with a great, deafening, terrible sound that nobody described. It passed away with a great noise. As a wild star shoots out in space, burned up, every soul in it is put into hell in the heart of it, and every wicked person is put into hell. And after they're put into hell, and they're put into the heart of the earth, in the heart of the hell, then it said it passed away with a great noise. And the next chapter you turn, and it said, I looked, and I didn't see the first heaven. There was a new one. And I looked and I didn't see the first earth, for it was passed away. But I saw a new earth. Now God didn't say he's going to patch this one up. It says in Isaiah 61, the earth that I shall create. Create is to bring something out of nothing. And Peter said, when he described the elements melting with a fervent heat and passing away with a great noise in 2 Peter, 3rd chapter, Peter said, but we, according to God's promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. So John said, I looked and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, because the first earth were gone, is passed away. And I looked and I saw this beautiful earth, and everybody in it was glorified. They were all sons of God. And then it said, I looked, and Jesus Christ had mastered and conquered all evil and all sin, and the devil was at last put in the lake of fire, and all wicked put in the lake of fire. The great white throne judgment had taken place. All the wicked had been judged, and the first earth were passed away with a great noise like a sound of a rushing wild star dashing out into the empty space. Now, what happened? It said that God was up in heaven. And God said the word to Jesus, Son, you have sit at my right hand until you have made all of your enemies your footstool. And now, son, what's next? He said, Father, I'm going to wave my hand and give the signal, and I want my holy city that I made when I went back after being crucified. I want the four square city to come down on this new earth. And the Heavenly Father said it'll be right on its way. And you read the Bible. It said it, and John looked and he saw the holy city coming down from God. God is up there in heaven. Christ was down here on earth. You get that? It wasn't the other way. Christ wasn't up in heaven and God down on earth. Christ was here on earth and God was up in heaven. And the holy city came down from God out of heaven. Now, where was God? He was in heaven. It came from God to Christ on the earth. And when it landed, it taken a spot there 1,500 miles square. And when it landed, the angel said, now the tabernacle of God is with men. And then Jesus gave the signal and said, Father, come on. And then God himself came down majestically and made a two-point landing. And he walked up to his son and he said, Son, it looks beautiful. This world is beautiful. It's a new one. You got any sinners around you, son? Nope. They've all been put under my feet. Where's the devil, son? He's in the bowels of hell forever. Where's ever devil, son? They're in the bowels of hell forever. Who are these millions and millions and millions you're seeing here? They are sons of God, born again by the blood of Jesus Christ. They overcome the devil, and they washed their garments and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They are overcomers. They have the ones that made it. Do you have any sinner here? Not one. They're all righteous. And then it said God went around. They didn't have no tears. But it said, honey, your tears are wiped forever. Never will those little old cheeks have one drop of tear. Never, as long as I live, will they be wet with a tear. They're gone. And honey, the curse is gone. There'll be no more pain, your body, back there going through the trials. Brother Cook, you went through some heartaches. But he'll say, Cook, never again will you have a pain. But I'm going to give you, you've got a glorified body. There'll be no more curse. There'll be no more evil. There'll be no more devil. There'll be no more pain. The former things are passed away. And then it says, God, the Father, and the Lamb, I think we know who he is, shall dwell with them. And they will have no need of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. And he will dwell with them forever, and he will lead them in living fountains of water. They will dwell under the tree of life and have the food forever. They will have the hidden manna, which is the secret food that God has preserved for us. We will have everything that hearts can desire with a glorified body. With God the Father right down here, the tabernacle of God is with men. Now, the tabernacle of God is 1,500 miles square. That is not the size of the earth. That's a little old tiny spot they cleared off for the holy city to come down on, and that was 1,500 miles square. The great huge earth might be about the size of this one. God decided this would be about the size he wanted when he made it to begin with. He made it with the intention of making it a heaven, and that's exactly the devil fouled it up. So I kind of believe that the new earth will be kind of about the size of this one. I wouldn't want it to be too big, and I sure wouldn't want it to be too little. And I think this is all right. I've been around this earth. It takes a while to do it. But I kind of like it. It's just about the size I like. And brother, we're going to have everything just right. And we'll live forever and ever and ever. And everybody is going to get along with everybody. And I feel sorry for those that missed the rapture and didn't get in on the great event. That's telling what's going to happen in the future.